Let us pray again. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory. Sinless creatures, angels, cannot even bear to be in your presence as they have to cover their face and their feet to be with you. And God, just like Isaiah, I pray that as we gaze upon your holiness this morning, that we would see ourselves for who we are, that we would cry out, "Woe is me." For when we look at your holiness, it exposes our sin for what it truly is, an abomination to you. And I also pray that as we gaze upon you, that we would see you as the wonderful Savior that you are, that we can come to you and ask for forgiveness, and our guilt can be taken away, and our sin can be atoned for. Would you be magnified, O God, through the preaching of your word, and would you speak to us so that our desires would be changed, so that we would put to death what is earthly in us, so that we would take off our old self and put on the new self. And we pray that you would renew us in knowledge after the image of Christ Jesus. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. What a joy it is to gather together to worship him. As we begin, as normal, we'll start with our words for kids. And the idea behind this is just I'll give a few words each week, and then every time, just to write the words down, every time you hear the word, you can just put a tally mark next to it, and just to encourage kids to follow along to the sermon. Our words for this morning are Christ, no surprise there, I think I've had that every time, but Christ, old and new. Christ, old and new are our words this morning. This morning we're going to continue working our way through the Apostle Paul's letter to Colossians, and we have made it to Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. So please take your copy of God's word and turn there with me, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. Our theme for the whole letter of Colossians is Jesus is supreme. In him we have all that we need, so seek the things that are above. A couple weeks ago in Colossians 2:23, we learned that human rules and regulations have no power in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Man-made rules cannot change the desires of our hearts. And so as we transition now into chapter 3 and in our passage this week and next week, we're going to look at how the desires of our hearts are changed. And we're going to begin with our passage this week. So again, Colossians 3, 5 through 11. Let's look at it together. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is God's holy word that cannot and does not fail. Well, on this day, 14 years ago, I got saved. Today, I'm celebrating my 14th re-birthday, and I'm just really excited about that. But before I got saved, my life was characterized by sin. My life was defined by selfish pleasure, sexual immorality, pornography, alcohol, partying, anger, and finding my joy and my identity in all the wrong places. And I'll spare you the details, but it was ugly. But when I got saved 14 years ago, it was like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. My life was completely changed, and I became a new person. And Scripture talks about it as becoming a new creation. My life is no longer defined by sin, but it is defined now by Christ. And by that, I don't mean that I don't struggle with sin. I still struggle with sin, but I'm talking about the major characteristic and defining characteristics of my life is now Christ instead of sin. My old self is not who I am anymore. I have become a new creation. And beloved, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you have also become a new creation. Your life and your story may be different than mine, but you are a new creation. Your old self is not who you are anymore. The old is gone, and the new has come. Therefore, get rid of the old self. Or to say it in another way, put your sin to death. That is my main point from this text this morning. Put your sin to death. And drawing off of that, so put your sin to death first by taking off the old self, verses 5 through 9, and put your sin to death by putting on the new self, verses 10 through 11. So that's where we're heading this morning. So put your sin to death first by taking off the old self. Again, this is from verses 5 through 9. Paul begins in verse 5. Look at it with me. Look at just the first part with me. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death, therefore. We need to ask, what is the therefore, therefore? The therefore in this case is referring back to our passage last week where Paul said that if you are a believer, you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ. Your old self is gone and your new self is here. And because if you are a believer, these things are true of you, therefore you need to put to death what is earthly in you. And Paul does not mince his words here. Put to death what is earthly in you. This again is not a suggestion. This is a command. You need to put to death what is earthly in you. You need to kill your sin because it is deadly. When you have something deadly inside of you, you need to kill it. Now, black mambas, a snake, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're one of the most dangerous snakes in the world. And the word on the street is that baby black mambas are even more dangerous because they can't control their venom output. And so they can, if they bite you, they just put it all of their poison in you. So with that in mind, I heard a story of a missionary family serving in Uganda, Africa. And they had an elementary age boy who got up in their house in the middle of the night and he went to get a drink of water or something, I can't remember. And they found out later that they had a baby black mamba in their house that came close to him in the middle of the night. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Now, praise God, nothing happened. The boy was okay. He didn't get bit or anything. But when you have something that deadly in your house, you need to kill it. My friends, your sin is more deadly than a black mamba. Every sin is an absolute outrage to the holiness of God. Every sin deserves eternal death. Every sin is, to quote R.C. Sproul, cosmic treason. Every sinful desire, every sinful thought, every sinful word, every sinful action is an absolute abomination to the holy God. And you need to kill it. You need to destroy your sin. You need to put to death what is earthly in you. Now, this is true for every single one of our sins, but Paul is writing in a specific context to a specific group of people, and so he continues by listing off a list of sins of desire. So, looking at all of verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, the first four in this list all refer to sexual sins, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, which is kind of like lust, evil desire, which in this case is referring to something that is forbidden sexually, all combined, and I'm not going to go into all of these details because all combined, they refer to the whole range of sexual sins that a person can commit, from lustful desire to lustful thoughts to pornography, all the way to adultery and everywhere in between. You must put them to death. Beloved, are you struggling with sexual sin? You need to put it to death. You need to kill it. You need to see it as the black mamba that it is and get rid of it before it destroys you. Put it to death. Now, Paul concludes his list with covetousness, and he says that it is idolatry. Covetousness is the motivation behind this list of sexual sins, and covetousness, simply put, is desiring something that is not yours. And every sexual sin, in a sense, is motivated by covetousness, or it's motivated by desiring something that is not yours. And at the heart of covetousness is idolatry. Now, idolatry is worshiping a false god. It's not submitting to Christ Jesus and worshiping Christ, but it's worshiping this thing that you have that is not yours. And idolatry is at the heart of this list of sexual sins. And therefore, Paul continues in verse 6. Look at verse 6 with me. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Last week, we looked at the glorious reality for believers at the appearing of Christ Jesus. At the end of all things, when he comes again, we will be like him in glory. And I can't wait for that. But now, in this passage, just a couple verses later, Paul is focusing on the reality for unbelievers at the coming of Christ at the end of all things. Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to judge the living and the dead. He's going to pour out his omnipotent, holy, and righteous anger on the wicked. Now, I think sometimes we get this picture in our mind of Christ Jesus that he is just some fluffy Santa Claus type figure who's there just to give us whatever we want. But that is not the Christ of the Bible. Think about this description of Jesus from Revelation 14. You can see it on the screen, I believe. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels, and get this, and in the presence of the Lamb. Beloved, Jesus is the Lamb, and he is there while the wicked are being eternally punished for their sin. This is not some fluffy Santa Claus type figure. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the judge of all the earth, and the judge of all the earth is holy, and he shall do what is right. And what is right is that he will come again and pour out the fullness of his anger on every single one of our sins. Jesus Christ is holy, 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 and every sin is an outrage to his holiness. He hates sin, and he must judge it. And so, on account of these sexual sins, the wrath of God is coming. Now, I know a guy who, he used to be a drug addict and a drug dealer. And one day, the police came for him with a warrant out for his arrest. And they came to his door, they brought the warrant there, they arrested him, and they brought him and they punished him for his crimes. Beloved, if you are not a Christian, Jesus has a warrant out for your arrest. And in his perfect timing, he will arrest you and justly punish you for all of eternity, even for the least of your sins. The wrath of God is coming for you. And your only way to be saved from the wrath of God is to throw yourself at the mercy of the judge, because the judge himself stepped down from the bench. He gave his life to make an offer of salvation for you, so that if you confess your sins, he will be faithful and just to forgive you. So ask for forgiveness from the judge and entrust your soul to Christ Jesus, because the wrath of God is coming. Now, if you are a believer, let this be a sober reminder of the seriousness of our sins. And also let it be a reminder of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Put your sin to death. Paul continues, look at verse 7 with me. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. Now Paul is talking to Gentile Colossians, and he's saying that the sins in verse 5 used to characterize them. They used to walk in them. They used to live in them. They used to be defined by these sins. In the same way, if you are a believer, before you were saved, you used to live in that way. Before you were saved, your life was defined by sin. And it might not fit all of the specifics of the list there, but I can guarantee, even if you got saved as a child, you struggled with covetousness, which is desiring something that is not yours. If you've spent any time with children, you know that that is the case. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now that you have come to Christ Jesus, you must put them all away. You must put your sin to death. And that's how Paul continues. Look at verse 8 with me. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. If you are a Christian, you must put all of your sin away. You must put all of your sin to death. You must get rid of them. You must take them off. And the idea here behind putting them all away is the idea of taking off an old, worn, torn jacket that doesn't fit you anymore. And Peggy did an excellent job with the illustration for the kids, because that is exactly the idea. It's like taking off this article of clothing. It's old, it's worn, it's torn, and it's too small. It doesn't fit you anymore. Beloved believer, these sins no longer fit you, and you must take them off: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Before, Paul gave a list of sins of desire, and now he's giving a list of sins of speech. And it encompasses the full range of this type of sin, getting all the way to the heart motivation of frustration, to anger, to being quick-tempered, to being mean-spirited, to gossip, to damaging others' reputations, all the way to verbal abuse and everywhere in between. It starts with the motivation of the heart, and it flows out into our speech to others and about others. Do you have anger or frustration in your heart towards others? Are you quick-tempered? Do you struggle with gossip or slander? Is your speech about others destructive or even abusive? You must see these sins as the black mamba that they are, and you must put them to death. You must destroy these sins before these sins destroy others. You must put these all away. Like a dirty old jacket that doesn't fit you anymore, you must take these off. Because if you are a believer, these sins don't fit you anymore. You have taken off the old self with its practices. And this is how Paul continues in verse 9. Look at verse 9 with me. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Now Paul continues with another sin of speech. Do not lie to one another. And A simple way of saying this is we are to be people who tell the truth. Lying does not fit us anymore. Do not lie to one another. And you see here, this is the beginning of kind of the one another's, and we see that this gives us a hint that there's a community aspect to this. Do not lie to one another because you have put off the old self with its practices. Do not lie to one another because it's not who you are anymore. If you are a believer, you have put off the old self with its practices. And again, this is actually the same idea as in verse 8, as just taking off that old jacket that no longer fits you. In Christ, you have taken off the old jacket. You have taken off the old self with its practices. You have died to your old self. Like I said last week, it's kind of like a snake shedding its skin. You know, a snake sheds its skin and the old skin is gone, and then the snake is free to enjoy the new skin. The old skin is dead and the new skin is here. Your old self is dead, but your new self is here. You have taken off the old self with its practices. This means that you are no longer defined by lying or anger or gossip or by sexual sin. That was your old self. That is not who you are anymore. And so if you are struggling with these sins, you need to put them to death. You need to kill your sin before it kills you. You need to destroy your sin before it destroys others. Take off the old self and put your sin to death. Beloved, your old self is not who you are anymore. So put your sin to death by taking off the old self, and put your sin to death by putting on the new self. So second point this morning, put your sin to death by putting on the new self, looking at verses 10 and 11. Paul continues in verse 10, look at it with me. Well, the end of verse 9, you have put off the old self with its practices, verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. If you are in Christ, you have not only taken off the old self, but you have put on the new self. You have not only taken off that old, worn, and torn jacket that no longer fits you, but you have been given a new jacket. You have been given a jacket that is brand new, that is without spot or wrinkle. You have been given a jacket that fits perfectly. In Christ, you have taken off the old self and you have put on the new self. You are no longer defined by your sins of desire or your sins of speech, but you are defined by Christ. And beloved, when God looks at you, he sees Christ. You are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and you have been declared righteous in his sight. You have put on the new self, and you are being renewed in knowledge after the image of your Creator. Now, if you remember, a number of weeks ago in Colossians 1, verses 15 and 16, we saw Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God, and we also saw him as the creator of all things. And Paul is now saying that if you are in Christ, you are now being renewed in the image of Christ Jesus. You are in the process of becoming more like Christ. You are in the process of being renewed so that you may be more like Christ Jesus. You are not perfect yet, but you are in the process of being renewed. If you can imagine a car being broke down on the side of the road and then being rescued by a tow truck and brought to the mechanic, maybe that's happened to you before. When your car is at the mechanic, when it's at the shop, the car is being worked on, the car is in the process of being renewed and restored. In a similar way, you are in the process of being renewed, not to be like your old self, but you are in the process of being renewed so that you may be more like Christ Jesus. And so this leads to a really important question. How are we renewed? One of the main ways is by putting your sin to death. I've been making that point throughout. How do you put your sin to death? That's the question we need to ask. How do you put your sin to death? How are we renewed? This renewal takes place through what is called the expulsive power of a new affection. Now, don't worry, I'm going to explain what that means. And you're going to hear me talk about this probably many times in the year on purpose because I think it's so important. But this idea comes from a pastor and theologian named Thomas Chalmers. He preached it in a sermon in 1819, and it's now produced in a little book that you can get your hands on, which I would highly recommend. But the expulsive power of a new affection is simply this. So expulsive is kind of like you're getting rid of it. You're getting rid of something through a new affection. So your affections, your desires are changing. We all have something deep down in our hearts that we love the most. And the most effective way to get rid of sin is to love God more than the things of this world. You put your sin to death by loving God more than you love your sin. Or to say it in another way, imagine it's winter in North Dakota. You can probably imagine that. It's coming soon. If you're in winter in North Dakota and you take off your old torn jacket that's too small and you're outside, you're going to need a new jacket, right? Put on the new jacket. So in a similar way, the expulsive power of a new affection is taking off the old self and it's putting on the new self. It's replacing your desire for sin with a desire for God. It's putting your sin to death by loving God more than your sin. And to love God more than your sin, your mind needs to be renewed. Your heart needs to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word. And this is not just a pull yourself up by the bootstraps or a work harder on your own solution. You need the power of God to change your heart so that you would love God more than the things of this world. And this is another reason why we constantly need to be in the Word of God and in prayer and in Christian fellowship, because God uses these things to change our desires and to change our hearts. This is why we need to make it a priority to worship God together with God's people on Sunday mornings, because when we sing praises to Him and when we hear the Word of God preached, our hearts are being renewed in the image of Christ Jesus. Our hearts are being renewed so that our desire for sin would dissipate and that our love for God would grow. We do these things so that we would be renewed after the image of Christ Jesus. So we put on the new self through the expulsive power of a new affection. And one thing that I can't forget to mention here is that we need to live a lifestyle of repentance. This is one of the main ways we put our sin to death and how we grow in the expulsive power of a new affection. We need a lifestyle of repentance. And the most effective way that I've ever seen it done is through an acronym called CAR. And I got this from Heath Lampert in his book, Finally Free. When you repent of your sin, confess, affirm, and request. And I'll just go through these briefly. So let's just say you're fighting with whatever sin. Let's just say it's anger. Every time that you struggle with anger, you can go through this. Confess your sins. Be as specific as you can. God, forgive me for this very specific thing. That is pretty self-explanatory. But then we get to the A, affirm who you are in Christ Jesus. And this is where, so repentance and faith go hand in hand. When you repent, you're turning away from your sin. And when you turn away from something, you need to turn towards something else. Faith is turning towards Christ Jesus. So this A is turning toward Christ Jesus and believing who you are in Christ, because it can be easy to confess your sins but still feel guilty. But you need to affirm who you are in Christ Jesus, that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you. That if you confess your sins, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for, the full record of debt that you owe for your sin has been paid on the cross of Christ Jesus. So affirm who you are in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, R, request God's grace to change. And this one literally changed my life, because what I was doing is confessing my sins and then just trying to do better on my own power. But you can ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit so that your desires would change, so that you would be renewed, so that you would actually have His power to turn away from sin. You're going to hear me talk about this acronym many times because I think it is so important. Confess your sins, affirm who you are in Christ Jesus, and request God's grace to change. And we need to do this every single time that we sin. All right, so that is how we are renewed. That is how we put our sin to death. And now we finally get to verse 11, and we learn that this new self is not just an individual thing, but it is a community thing. So finally, verse 11, look at it with me. Here, that is in the new self, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Here in the new self, or in this new community, or as one commentator calls it, the new humanity. In this new humanity, there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, between circumcised and uncircumcised, between barbarian or Scythian or slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Everyone who is in Christ Jesus is now a part of this new humanity. Every believer is now a part of this new community. And every type of person is welcomed and invited to belong to this new community. It doesn't matter what your family heritage is. It doesn't matter where you are from. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter what your financial status is. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter how broken your life is. Every type of person is invited to come to Christ and belong to this new community together. And together we belong to this new community because together we are united to Christ Jesus. We're not just little island Christians on our own. We are a new community together. And in this new community, we fight sin together and we are renewed in the image of Christ Jesus together. We are this new humanity where we are made up of different backgrounds and life stories and personalities and hobbies and interests and family heritage. As believers, we belong together because we belong to Christ Jesus. And we are to be the type of people that welcome anybody into this new humanity. Because this type of community, this is who we are now. This is our new self. Your old self is not who you are anymore. So put your sin to death by taking off the old self and by putting on the new self. Beloved, Jesus is supreme. In Him you have all that you need, so put your sin to death. Jesus is supreme. In Him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. Let us pray. O God, we humbly come before you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. And I pray, God, for those who are here this morning who are struggling with sexual sin and or anger or sins of speech. God, I know that they are here. I pray that you would move mightily in their hearts. I pray that they would see their sin for as deadly as it is. And I pray that they would see Christ for who he is, and that they would repent and live a lifestyle of repentance. And God, for all of us as we struggle with sin, I pray that we would live a lifestyle of repentance through confessing our sins, affirming who we are in Christ, and asking for your grace to change us. And would you change us? Would we be renewed day by day in our inner being? Would we be transformed by the renewal of our mind? Would you continue to work in us? For we ask this in Christ's name, amen. As you're able,